with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be prepared. For at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everybody?" The Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward, whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds already doing so. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign a place for the unfaithful. The servant who knew his master's will but didn't make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone? Peter had the courage to ask the direct question. Does this apply to us, Jesus? Are we an exception to this? Why are you teaching us about lamps being lit and loins girt? Why are you talking to us about awareness about the Master's arrival? Do you think we're not prepared? Of course, they weren't prepared. They would be caught totally off guard when Jesus' threefold predictions of his arrest, torture, crucifixion, and death all came about. They were caught totally unaware, even though the Master was with them. And likewise, we too can be caught unaware. So we always need to listen to the Word of God as if Jesus was giving this just for us. Today he builds on those lessons that we encountered yesterday about two fundamental attitudes and approaches of a disciple apostle, of one of his followers and one of his friends. First is to have lamps lit, to be expectant, to be longing, to have those types of holy desires. We see that in the approach that Jesus describes about the faithful and prudent steward who's awaiting the Master's return. Mary of Bethany would say to Jesus, right before he raised her brother Lazarus from the dead, that she believed in him as the one coming into the world. The Lord is constantly coming. He's constantly approaching us. He's there. Do we long for him? Is our heart lit? It's the first attitude of a faithful and prudent steward of all the Lord's gifts, that we know the Lord is near, that our vigil lamp is not lit in vain. Second thing we heard yesterday was loins girt, ready for the journey, ready for the work, ready for collaboration. And that is echoed in today's parable by that faithful servant giving the nourishment at the proper time. That we're constantly ready to take the nutrition that the Lord has given us and share it with others. with a certain haste, with a readiness, that yes, we are expectantly hearing the Lord's word because he's constantly coming and speaking to us. But he wants to nourish us in such a way that with loins girt, we can immediately go and start serving those portions to others. To breastfeed them, we could say, of the faith we ourselves have digested. These are the two fundamental attitudes. At the very end of this parable, Jesus wants Peter and all of us to recognize how blessed we are. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. And in the Hebrew idiom of couplets, we would almost expect the second line to be, and little will be demanded of the person entrusted with little. But Jesus doesn't go in that direction. He says, still more will be demanded of the one entrusted with more. That all of us have been entrusted with so much. We're all loaded. To use the parable of the talents, some may have five, some may have two, we might just have one. But as we talk about when we quantify what that means, if a person were paid $100 a day, that would mean we've had at least 600,000 given to us. So others may be billionaires, but we're at least millionaires. We've been entrusted with so much because the Lord is constantly coming to enrich us so that through us he can enrich the entire world. So today we recognize this parable is meant for us. St. Paul, in today's first reading, builds on these themes. Especially what it means to be a faithful and prudent steward versus an unfaithful, imprudent steward. In the two ways that we approach our life, do not present the parts of your body to sin as weapons for wickedness, he says. Don't be a bad steward who thinks my master is long delayed. And so begins to debase himself, getting drunk, overeating, indulging. And then, instead of with loins girt going and feeding others, saying, because he's long delayed, let me take advantage of others to beat them, otherwise to victimize them. That's what it means to present our bodies to sin as weapons for wickedness. It's always a possibility for us. But then the second, present your bodies to God as raised from the dead to life, and the parts of your bodies to God as weapons for righteousness. Out of all the biblical expressions, this is one of my favorite. We're locked and loaded. We're weapons for the kingdom, weapons for holiness. If we allow Jesus to rise from the dead within us, if we rise with him, the devil's constantly trying to tempt us first to use ourselves as weapons for wickedness, to go do damage to people, after having harmed ourselves. And if he can't stop us from doing that, then at least he wants us to pretend as if all we've got is a cap gun. That it's a weapon, but it's no better than sort of setting off a little firecracker or taking a squirt gun and hitting somebody in the nose. No, God wants us to recognize much more will be demanded of the one entrusted with more. And he has made us quite powerful by his gifts. Weapons for holiness in the middle of the world. To go out and spend our life well. I know you were all practically in ecstasy this morning when you were praying that first psalm in Lauds. Which was, by the way, Psalm 36. What did we talk about that wicked man, that unfaithful and imprudent servant? What was he doing? Sits on his bed at night, plotting. The impious sits on his bed, plotting how to get ahead, how to do harm. For us, as weapons of righteousness, we're called to spend our daylight hours and our night hours plotting goodness, planning, seeing how we could maximize the gifts that God has given us to do real damage to the devil's kingdom and real good for the Lord's. So often, we just allow goodness to happen. It's a whole culture of random acts of kindness, of spontaneity. There's nothing wrong with spontaneous goodness. Hopefully we respond promptly when an opportunity comes. But the Lord demands more of us. He wants us to plot goodness. For example, to say, is there any sister in this convent a little down? How can I use my life as a weapon to lift her up, to destroy the stranglehold that the devil's trying to put on her, the disappointment, the dejection, the rejection? Do we plot in order to be able to do good? When we find somebody else who's difficult to get along with, difficult to love, difficult to like, do we, like St. Therese with that cantankerous old sister in her convent, do we plot goodness? Do we weaponize our faith, hope, and love precisely to attack whatever in us is not worthy of loving others as Christ has loved us first, so that precisely we can go and spread that kingdom? Pope Benedict, when he spoke to the young people of the world in Cologne, Germany, during World Youth Day in 2005, used an incredible image for the reception of Holy Communion. He described it as a nuclear explosion. Now, when we hear something like that, we can say, perhaps not a fitting analogy. And we would be right. Because a nuclear explosion is far less powerful than what receiving God inside is capable of bringing about. We're not shooting cap guns. Today, as we receive Jesus, we become nuclear weapons. The Lord is constantly coming into the world as faithful and prudent stewards, with lamps lit and loins girt. We receive this incredible power and then plot how to spend it. Praise be Jesus Christ.